Our present conference is on a very important subject, the meaning of death. By way of introduction, let's remind ourselves that we must all die. But why? The fact of death is common experience. The reason for death is a mystery of our faith. Death is a fact. Its meaning is a mystery. But as we know, if the full meaning of death is a mystery, it should not be a meaningless mystery. To understand death is to understand life, because all the importance of life is locked up in our understanding why we die. Two simple declarative sentences. We shall die as we have lived. And our life after death depends on our life before death. We are, in the profoundest sense of these words, masters of our eternal destiny. And the Rubicon that separates our life here and our life hereafter is what we conveniently call death. I would like to ask three questions, briefly answer the first two, and then spend most of our time on the third. What is death? Why do we die? And most importantly, how can we profit? Honest. How can we benefit from death? What is death? Death is the cessation of the bodily functions of a human being through the departure of the soul. When we die, the source of life for our bodies leaves the bodies behind. So what happens? The inevitable. All the bodily functions cease. And as Martha reminded Jesus, after 4 days, not only do the bodily functions cease, but their cessation can even be smelled. But, and this is the most important adversity of our faith, the functions of the soul continue. Burn that into your memories. The functions of the body cease. The functions of the soul continue. So much simply, and with no more fanfare, answering the simple question, what is death? Why do we die? There are two words that should never be separated, both monosyllables, sin and death. We believe that death is a result of sin. St. Paul could not be clearer. He told the Romans of all times, I quote, sin entered the world through one man, and through sin, death. But we go on. We are still asking, why do we die? The death of our body is a result of the death of the soul. Because, hear it, because the soul separated itself from God by sin. God then caused a separation of the body from the soul. You don't separate yourself from God with impunity. No one does. And we believe the separation of the soul from the human body, now going on for countless centuries, and will go on until the end of time, all of that, if you please, and we have no choice, is the consequence of one person's deliberate, fully conscious refusal to surrender his will to God. Sin has consequences. You don't just sin past tense. The effects of sin go on and on and on. And unless the sinner repents, and on and on for all eternity. One more observation in answering the question, why do we die? Death, we are told by the inspired writer, death is the work of the devil. He is a murderer from the beginning. Satan envied man's happiness and so seduced man into sin. Oh, how we need today in our over-educated, super-sophisticated, madly learned modern world. I dare use these words because, for reasons best known to the Lord, I have been for so many years immersed in learning, education, have dealt and am dealing with the highly educated people. Dear God, protect us intellectuals from the blindness of pride in not being able to see that sin has disastrous consequences in time by the first death and in eternity by the second death, otherwise known as hell. We are now ready to enter our third and most important, practically speaking, question. How can we profit from death and not question? Well, death is very strange. God, we believe, allows nothing without a profound purpose. He wants us to learn before we die how we can benefit from the inevitable fact that we shall die. You see, in God's providence, we can not only profit by what we have, we can also, and how, profit from what we will have here, the experience of death. Being in the habit of counting everything in sight, I counted 8 benefits that God wants us to derive from our forthcoming death. First, by anticipation, that although we're still, we don't know how long, quite alive, God wants us to accept the fact of death as part of God's mysterious will. What an article of faith this is! There are, needless to say, many revealed mysteries. There is none more mysterious than death. But we believe, there's a divine purpose . The purpose is that if we cooperate in doing God's will now, death will be the gateway to life. Believe that. And you have in your hands the treasury of eternity. How can we profit from death? Second, by resignation. Resigning ourselves, which means not resisting the prospect of death, voluntarily, freely, you might say, well, I've got no choice. Sure you do. You have the choice of either accepting death voluntarily or spending your life on earth stupidly resisting the inevitable. And I know of no resignation of the human will to the divine will more important than this one. Third way of profiting from death, by acceptance. Acceptance of death years before we die. Oh, I used to say many years before we died. Well, as the years keep clicking off, I feel embarrassed to say years before we die. Watch this. As a most effective expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, we have sinned. We get the verb. We should die. But I had no choice. God made the decision. Silly. That's what acceptance of death means. Accepting God's decision. Our mortality is proof positive of who we are. Sinners. Sinners die. But it's not just the acceptance of our death and expiation of our own sins. But Lord, the mountains of crime, the Himalayas of sins against the divine majesty, especially in the modern world. You ask, what can I do? Well, here's something you can do. Don't just resign yourself. That's number two. Accept death. That's number three. As reparation for your own sins and the sins of a very sinful mankind. How can we profit from death? by seeing death as the end of our probation, with no more chance of losing the friendship of God. Won't that be wonderful? None of us, not by now, should have any doubts that life is a testing ground. I just called New York to give back my grades for the courses that I taught at the university last semester. Every time I grade papers, a microcosm of life. You're always being tested. With death, no more chance of failing. Once we die, please God, we will die in God. We will never again be able to break loose from His divine arms. Fifth benefit. By seeing in death the emptiness of everything in this world, except one thing, to live in God's friendship and to die in His grace. Everything else, against the backdrop of eternity, is meaningless. Death sobers us. Death enlightens us. Death wakes us up. Oh, what a stupor we can be in this side of death. How important, how silly things in this world can really be, but we stupidly credit them with an importance they don't have. Death takes the scales off our eyes. And it should do it all our life long. Sixth, how can we profit from death? By uniting ourselves with Christ's death. His death on the cross. And offer ourselves with Him. But you say His death was sufficient. Let me change the accent. You say His death was sufficient. I distinguish. His death was sufficient to merit the salvation of the world. His death, we must say this, was not sufficient to apply, to communicate, to give, to confer the graces that Christ won by His death on the cross. Christ wants us to unite our deaths with His, so that He, meriting the grace of salvation by His dying, we might then benefit from that grace. Put it to use. But our death. And here, through a lifetime expectation of dying. Seventh benefit. By actually looking forward to death, when God calls us, as the dawn of eternal life. During this life, I don't know how you would put it, this is the way I put it. During this life, we are groping in the dark. And I mean groping, and I mean in the dark. Walking by faith, hand in hand with God. But with death, comes the dawn. Finally, this is not so much a theological explanation of how we can profit from death, but a practical recommendation. By daily making the supreme sacrifice of our earthly lives as a price for gaining heaven and the vision of God. That's why, come to think of it, have you ever asked yourselves, why we go to sleep every night? Here's one reason. To daily remind us of that last sleep from which, happily, we will not awake in this world. May I recommend what I've been doing for years beyond counting? Here's the prayer that I recite first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I accept from your hands whatever form of death you may wish to send me today. Or tonight. With all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. In reparation for my sins, for the souls in purgatory, for the conversion of sinners, for those who will die today or tonight, and for your greater glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.